Welcome to Talks at the Cross,
the official podcast of the Cross Point Church.
Welcome, you guys. Happy Sunday, y'all. Welcome to another episode, another Talks at the Cross. We first and foremost want to thank you guys for all the support you've been getting so far. Again, last week was a very powerful episode. Bishop, I think you can attest to it. We were stepping on the devil's toes last episode.
Yes, I think that topic about spiritual warfare really was on the spot. It was right on time. We had a lot of response from a lot of folks that reached out to us that realized that we are living in an era of active and very powerful spiritual warfare. But Aaron, I think we give God the glory and the honor that we have the blood of Jesus, we have the name of Jesus that protects us and gives us strength to continue forward.
Yeah, just for you, you know, we don't want to get too into it, but just for you guys don't know, once we put out that podcast, all hell broke loose, you know, in the Simano household, we got attacked. But, you know, God conquers all, and we rise above it, we plead the blood, and, you know, we're here for another week, and as y'all saw, you know, the video didn't upload. It's crazy how certain circumstances, sometimes, like you said, everything's going well, and then you get attacked, but that was last week's episode, you know, name of Jesus. This week's episode, we're going to have a new anointing, a new topic. Like you said, Dad, we want to have God speak through us. And this episode, I want to talk about grace and, more importantly, living in grace.
I think that topic there goes hand in hand with spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
You just mentioned a few minutes ago that, we were attacked. We stepped on the devil. We took the devil's mask off. And we found out, he found out that there's still believers out there that believe that there's power, that the devil is defeated already. There's power in the name, power in the blood. And the devil doesn't want, people that believe in God to know that. So in order for us to connect grace and spiritual warfare, I think today's topic goes hand in hand. And as we go along there, you'll see that we can really, really put all our faith in God and depend on his grace.
Yeah, I think it is hard to do both, right? You know, live in grace and, you know, fight the good fight. You know, as they say, a lot of times as Christian, we lose sight of everything because, you know, we're human. We have so much going on. We have, you know, bills to pay. We have relationships. We have, you know, jobs. We have school. That sometimes we lose sight of our Christian duties, as I should say. You know, we have our worldly duties. You know, we have our financial responsibilities, but sometimes we don't have our church duties, our Christian duties in order as well to live in grace. And I just want to, you know, clarify for those, you know, non-believers as well, for me, what is grace, Dad?
Well, the word grace, if we go to the Greek and into the Hebrew Aramaic, it simply means an unmerited favor. Uh-huh. It means something that you receive not really deserving it.
Unconditional.
Grace is so powerful because if you look at the Greek word, that unmerited favor is so powerful because that means that it doesn't mean on conditions, doesn't mean on circumstance, it doesn't mean on, you know, who you are, what you do, what family you come from, or, you know, grace doesn't have no conditions.
So you tell me, if I give $1,000 to the church and another brother gives $1, am I going to have more grace than him?
No. That's the beauty of grace. It's not, it's not quantitative. You can't buy grace. Uh-huh. Grace has got an unlimited value that there's nobody. This is why it's so important that we stress it. There's so many churches preaching a little bit of grace, a little bit of law. Yeah. And that's what's Paul's main, all of his 13 epistles, because I attribute Hebrews to the Apostle Paul also. All his writing was what we have just mentioned now. He did not want the church to mix grace and law. He wanted to give the true value to what Christ did on Calvary for us.
So just to clarify also, we had grace because Christ died for us on Calvary. Before that, we were underneath the law. That's why you had to sacrifice lambs. That's why you had to, you know, put the blood on the doorstep and all that, right?
It was law. It was conditioned on doing everything. And the Bible says that no man could keep the law. The law just showed humanity where sin was at. But it's true. They had to do it every year. Even the Jews, even the believers, once a year, the priest had to go in and offer a big sacrifice. But during the year, they would offer different types of sacrifices, and they had to do that to cover their sins. And it was part of them being able not to be destroyed by God. So the law was conditioned on all these conditions, all these commandments, all these rules, all these observation days. You couldn't eat certain foods. You had to, you know, offer this sacrifice for this, doves, lambs, heifers. So there was a lot of times people that would be condemned by the law because they could not fulfill all the things that the law required.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot to keep track of.
Well, that's what the thing that a lot of people don't understand, that Paul could say he gave all his life to be able to try to teach. And it's so sad. I say this with all due respect. After preaching over 40 years, I get to the point where I still hear young preachers and old trying to mix grace and the law and put conditions on you know, grace, and try to put you know, a little bit of law, a little bit of grace. And let me clarify something. I think you said it at the beginning. Living in grace does not mean that grace is cheap. It doesn't mean that grace has no value. Totally the opposite.
That's what I think as modern Christians, it's hard for us not to take advantage of the grace. Like, I remember, you know, speaking to my mother before, you know, she says, you can't keep making the same mistake and expect to get a different result.
And I think this is where you start to appreciate grace, when you start to understand it, that even though we mess up, even though we fall, even though we sin, God does not change. He is, the Bible says he is the same today, yesterday, forever. But yet, grace, you learn to start appreciating it, and that's why you don't want to make the same mistake. You don't want to offend God again, because he's been so good to us. And that, not by works, so no man shall glory himself, but will give glory to Jesus Christ, who died for us. We are saved through Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. So grace is the value, the price that Christ paid, so we can be free from our sins, so we can be forgiven from our sins, so we can be free from condemnation. But once again, like you said, Aaron, there's so many people that once you, it's just like the person that forgets where he was at. You know, I've always said this with all due respect. When you see some of these men and women that they came from the ghetto, they came from a lower life, from poverty. Now they become great rappers or great ball players or millionaires, movie actors. And then they forget, you know, some of them deny their background. Oh, no, I didn't grow up in Chicago. I didn't grow up in LA. I didn't grow up. And the worst is one that really bothers me is when you see, you know, Mexicans, like we say, with the cacti on the face, no palin, a friend, and then they say they don't speak Spanish and they're not from Mexico. Oh, no, I'm never. Some of them were born and raised, but they're ashamed. And this is where grace, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, as you were saying, we inherit grace. It's not because we deserve it, because that's an unmerited favor. But once we have grace, that means that it's not about us, it's about him. And like you say, when we give him the glory and we glorify him, we thank him, that's when you start valuing what you have. And grace is something that so many Christians have forgotten. We can preach law, we can preach faith, we can preach, you know, signs and wonder and the gifts. And one of my books that I have not published yet, I call it The Dark Side of the Gifts, and referring to how God uses humans, uses men and women for his kingdom, for the church. And yet so many men and women have fallen from the main aspect of grace, and these gifts were not given to us or to the church to be abused. Like you were saying, it gets to their head.
That's crazy, because you have to determine, you know, the inheritance without being entitled and without being spoiled Christians. And without, I said that before in the podcast, being a fair weather Christian. You know, when the going gets tough, you can't, oh, I'm not going to church anymore, I'm not going to call the pastor, it's their fault. No, you can't do that. Grace is also being a part of that, living in that, living in God's truth. And sometimes it's going to be hard. And like you said, the dark side of the gifts. You can't blaspheme God or get mad at God because it's not what you wanted it. And I think that's another the topic. You know, we have to wait on God's perfect timing. And that's hard. As humans, you know, we always want instant gratification. I think part of grace is taking a step back and saying, hey, he has my right. you know, he knows the desires of my heart. He has my right mind at hand, and I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to live in that grace. And how to do it humbly and respectfully is the hardest part of it.
And I think, you know, our topic today is living in grace. And you know, I hope nobody, don't get me wrong, we're not saying that you could be a believer and do what you please and disgrace grace. This is where I say, it's for example, you know, one of the greatest things that there's what we call, you know, a Christian walk, a Christian faith. So when we walk in grace, we give grace the value it's worth. You know, it's just like I always say, you know, it's like the royal family has certain, you know, criteria, ethics, protocols, procedures. Why? Even this new princess that for talking to the royal family of England, how she's American. She could not understand, you know, why you couldn't. She could never accept, you know, some of the rules that the queen had. And that's because it's part of that royal family. Now, in God's family, we have received grace. We're saved by grace, not by works. But we got to honor that grace. Yeah. We're going to give it its place in our life. Don't get me wrong, Aaron. I think this is what you're saying. Learning to appreciate is when you get up in the morning and you know that's grace. Some of us, you know, so many people don't get up, especially with all this going on, this pandemic, these, you know, diseases, all this war, all these things, you know, just recently in the border towns in Mexico, you know, people burning buses, burning each other. You know, it is terrible. The world is in chaos. Yeah. And so just the fact that we're able to get up, that's grace.
I think when you appreciate the small things in life, you know, not every blessing has to be a mountain. It could even be, you know, like I was able to put gas in my car today. I was able to call my mom today because, you know, I was able to wake up in a bed. I was able to wake up with people who love me, you know, appreciating that. That's grace. And living in grace is just honoring God by works, by you doing works. I'm not saying doing works like you say you inherit grace, but you're showing grace by your positive actions and your Christian actions in the world, and you're showing, hey, you know, I'm gonna be the light in somebody's life today because God's the light in my life today.
And I think, you know, one of the things I always remember from my theology professor in Bible school in college was he would always say when he was teaching ecclesiology to us, we're saved by grace, and we don't do works to be saved. But because of grace, we do good works.
Yeah.
It's a totally, it's not a cliche, but it's opposite. When you understand the value of grace, you're not forced to do it. Paul said, I can do all things, but not everything is profitable.
Yeah.
So, you know, Paul knew, I mean, there's no condemnation to the believer. Your relationship with Christ is your relationship with Christ, and God will forgive you no matter what you've done. And this is for somebody that's, you know, a prodigal, somebody that's left their faith. And I'm not talking church. You know, sometimes people misunderstand that the four walls or the building you roll. Yeah, that's not church.
Yeah.
We are the church. Yeah. We are the body of Christ. And friend, that you are listening to me, brother, that maybe you're struggling because the church did you wrong, but grace is still there. God is still today. This topic is for you. And this is what we're saying for the non-believer. There's still an opportunity as long as you're alive to be able to experience grace.
I like how you hit that on that, you know. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. It's internal. I can't tell you how to worship, you know, when to worship, where to worship. I'm just happy that you are worshiping and that you're showing that love and you're living in that grace. And I want to say that again to, you know, the non-believers and to the believers also. We're not about forcing, you know, God on anyone, because then at that point, you're not going to get nothing out of it. And that's also grace, learning how to be humble about it. Don't be haughty. You know, a lot of brothers these days, you preach one sermon, they do your T.D. Jakes, no disrespect. Or you do one thing and you think, you know, you can run the show. Sometimes you got to take that grace and be humble and step back and say, you know, thank you, God, for the opportunity. I'm not saying be stupid, you know, but don't let your work shine through. But, you know, I'm trying to say, navigate the waters humbly. And that's another part of grace work. You got to give it all up to God always.
How about
the instant that you said, as quick as he gives it, takes it away, right?
Yeah, and this is where a lot of folks, and I think Aaron, you hit it right on the money. Being humble is acknowledging grace.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says it clearly. He that humbles himself shall be exalted in due time. Mm-hmm. That's the whole verse. And, you know, some of my pastor friends and colleagues and preachers and missionaries and bishops. We learn the hard way. We sacrifice our lives to help people. And then we realize that Christ did way more than whatever we have done. And yet there are people that don't acknowledge Christ in their daily lives. And this is why the enemy, his main job is to try to take the glory. That happened from the beginning. The enemy does not want us to acknowledge grace in our lives and live by grace. In other words, I got this not because I deserve, because God loves me so much that I don't deserve it, but he gave it to me. He gave it to me. And that being said, and I always, in some of my sermons, use a short message that a gospel singer put out about a young man that broke a window. He was living out on the farm in the country, a black young man that threw a stone and broke a window. And his sister saw him. And so the sister said, you know, if you do this for me, I won't tell mama. I won't tell daddy. So she had him cleaning his room. She had him making food. In other words, he was serving her, so she wouldn't tell nobody about this mistake that he had done. And so, you know, time went on. He got tired. And one day, he told his mother he couldn't take it over. His sister was taking advantage of him. Yeah. You know, take my shoes, clean my room. And so then he went and told his mama. And his mama told him, you know, we knew it was you, but we forgave you. So then the little girl comes home and then she tells him, you know, hey, you got to do it. Wait a minute. She goes, I'm not going to do nothing no more. I've already paid my dues and I am forgiven.
The tab paid for.
And that's exactly how I explain grace. The tab is paid for. We don't have to let the devil manipulate us, let the devil. And yes, there's trials, there's tribulations. Like you said at the beginning, we will have to defend our faith and our relationship. There's a verse in the Bible that so many have misinterpreted where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And when you apply that to grace, you understand that grace is so valuable that the enemy does not want you to really value it.
He doesn't want you to know you have it.
Exactly. Ignorance.
Yeah.
And knowledge is power. When the word of God, as you were just saying, this is so powerful. You could tell the devil, I'm sorry, my debt is paid. When the devil comes to accuse you of your sin, of your disobedience, accusing you of your wrongs, you could tell the devil, by grace, I am forgiven.
Amen.
You don't have no control over me.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus has been shepherded. That is grace. And this is a topic that if you learn, like you were saying, to navigate in the waters of grace, you will always be victorious. You always have a smile. You know, it's just recently, I've been in this a long time. And, you know, sometimes I look back and today we visited a church and we heard one of the songs that me and my wife, matter of fact, one of my wife's first song she sang as maybe a 13-year-old, 14-year in the church. And the song is Usa Mi Vida, Use My Life. And we were hearing that song, and I remember it after 40 years. And my wife turns to me and says, we're still standing.
Amen.
And it really encouraged me that grace is acknowledging that we're still standing, not by my strength, but by the grace of God. And this is, Aaron, a topic that is so profound. And that's why I say it goes hand in hand with spiritual warfare. The enemy does not want you to know this, but grace wants you to know this. I hope you understand. It's not a cliche. It's not an irony. But it's something that is so real that so many Christians need to hear this. We are saved by grace. My brother, my sister, my friend, a believer, non-believer, by grace, there is forgiveness for your sin. By grace, there's healing for your mental health. By grace, there's healing for your addiction. And by grace, for your hurts. That's another part, Aaron, and that's another topic we could talk. Our pains, our hurts, our things that are wounds of the heart, our emotional scars that sometimes medicine can't cure, counseling can't cure, friendships. Grace is the medicine for the soul.
The scars you can't see.
Exactly.
That's what grace is medicine for.
Exactly. And you know, I've always said this with all due respect, and I think you hit it right on the money. There's nothing more powerful than applying grace to a wounded heart. Mm-hmm. Even visible scars and invisible scars. When you apply, it's better than chemotherapy for cancer. It's better than the miracle prescriptions or antibiotics that exist, the cures for the diseases. When you apply grace to a wounded heart, a wounded body, you realize, I don't deserve God to heal me. I don't deserve God to wake me up in the morning, but I'm going to live by grace. I'm not going to let the enemy accuse. You know, there's a thing, and I think it goes hand in hand. You just said it right now. So many people believe under the impression that God is punishing you. That's why you're going through this. And you're a bad Christian. Yeah. You don't have no, you know, look at, you know, that's why you're struggling, because you don't have God in your life. And who are we to judge?
Yeah.
And, you know, I found out in my travels, in my different places that I've been in the world, and Aaron, you know, God has granted me a great blessing to be able to preach in many countries and be able to experience a lot of things. And I look back now and I thank God. I give God all the glory and the honor for giving me this blessing. I never deserved it. You know, PK, we talk about that rebound, but God chose me and he gave me an opportunity to be able to, you know, even pray for presidents of countries. I got to have that blessing. Yet, with all that being said, you know, the greatest thing, Aaron, is to be able to say, by the grace of God, I'm still here believing that God is with me, having faith. You know, somebody asked me recently, Pastor, what's the secret? And I said, there's really no secret. It's just knowing who your God is and who your salvation comes from. And when you apply that, it's not about going to church. It's not about, you know, like you said, preaching to thousands, or even, like you said, thinking that, oh, God used me, so I'm now, you know, I'm hot stuff. I'm the only Coke in the desert. And that will produce pride. And the Bible says that pride, before the fall of the proud, is pride.
Yeah.
And that grace is totally the opposite. Christ didn't have to choose us. We are chosen by grace.
I think we're almost, we're going to have to wrap it up soon here, but hey, Bishop, this topic is profound, and once we learn to really harness this, I think, you know, whoever listening to this right now, you know, don't be afraid of it. Don't shy away from the grace. You know, don't take advantage of it, but don't be afraid of living it. You know, brother, sister, wherever you are right now, one of my final thoughts is, you know, I too, I don't deserve it, but I'm still here. I'm still standing. You know, the tab is paid for. You know, I pray daily, you know, my family prays daily, you know. This kingdom mentality is not easy. At the end, brother, it's all worth it. That's what grace is to me.
And I think, Aaron, you hit it right on the money. Grace is not about denomination. Grace is not about an organization. Grace is not about, you know, not even a philosophy. Grace is all about your relationship with God. Your relationship with your Savior. So when you understand that, your life turns, and there's favor. There's so many blessings in understanding grace that you can, you know, like somebody told me, what's the secret? It's just grace. It's not me. It's by grace that we are still standing. It's by grace that God has blessed us so much, more than we deserve. And I say that with all, you know, due respect to those that don't understand that living in grace is acknowledging God in all our ways so he can direct our paths. And sometimes those paths are not what you want to do, what you would like to do. It's what God pulls you to do, because he knows that you're going to be able to help somebody. And that's the main idea of our talks at the cross, is to reach those people that maybe haven't heard a sermon this way. I'm not talking from a pulpit. We're not talking theology. We're not opening the Bible. Yeah, we do quote verses, because that's our foundation. But Aaron, I think a conclusion, living by grace is the greatest inheritance and the greatest value that any human being can live by. It is more than your name, your royal priesthood. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. You know, we're a holy nation. You know, we have so many things, but the highest of all this, in order to have all the benefits, you got to acknowledge grace in your life.
I think, you know, yeah, you hit it right on the head. And The main thing is we need to know we have it. As Christians, as non, you know, Christians, as believers, non-believers, just know that, you know, God died for us, and he gave us that inheritance, and you know, tab's paid for it. We don't owe anything. We don't owe no balance. You know, the devil's a liar. You know, we're going to keep going forward. And with that said, Bishop, I just want you to take us out with a prayer, and God bless you guys, and come back next week.
Okay. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to be able, through this platform, reach those who are listening, as we talk about living in grace or living by grace. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We thank you for Aaron picking this topic that is so profound, that goes hand in hand with all the obstacles, all the warfare, all the battles, all the struggles that we have in life. But we thank you today, God. We double thank you for your grace. We just can't acknowledge, God, that we, God, chose the vile, the lowest, to glorify his name in our lives. We don't deserve this. That's what your grace is, that unmerited, that undeserving favor, God. And we thank you, my brother, my sister, that you are listening, my friend. You can also receive this grace. It doesn't cost anything. All you have to do is accept it. And once you do that, and you start to value it in your life, there's blessing, there's favor. There's so many blessings that come with acknowledging Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And right now, for that person that's hurting, that person that has been wounded, that person that is struggling, that person that has hardships, that person that has relationship issues, a marriage problem, God's grace can reach down and change that person that you wish would change. You can't change it, but God's grace can. And this is where we need to learn to apply grace to our lives in all aspects. And right now, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for Aaron, God, picking this topic. And we ask you to bless all those who are going to listen to this podcast tomorrow. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. And we ask you to continue to pray for the Talks at the Cross and the Cross Point Church, that God continue to use us to reach the lost at any cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.